life. Eternal life. Aionios, I know, it means ages. So ages upon ages. Everlasting life. John, in the 17th chapter, 3rd verse, says, this is eternal life. Wow, so it's going to define it. This is eternal life. This is why Jesus came. This is why he was sent, to give us not just the concept, but to give us the reality of living everlasting, no beginning, no ending. Because you're no longer a Gentile, or you're no longer a Jewish person. Those categories are not part of Jesus' understanding. So no matter where you came from throughout the whole world, you are part of a new creation. Kaine katesis. It means, creation means something created, but kaine means not like the natural world, not like anything in this world. Something new of a different quality. Not natural life that's temporal, but eternal life. Forever and ever. No beginning, no ending. Like Melchizedek, which lived in the time of Abraham. And he was in the area, the direct area, where Jesus carried on his ministry. And he was about to sacrifice his son on what they called Mount Moriah. And because he's now late in life, and he has his son, and his son may be 12 years old or something, whatever age he is. And the son went off with his father and went to this Jebusite city where Melchizedek and others were from. Melchizedek had no beginning and no ending. Nobody knew about it. Where is his father? Where is his mother? Where are his children? Who is this guy? But Abraham made tithes to him. And so God spoke to him and said, you are the father of faith, but I want to test you. I want to put you to the test to see whether you have faith. And the dearest thing is your son. You almost love him more than me. I know you don't, but you almost do. And I want to put that to the test. So he said, son, we're going to go to Mount Moriah. And when they were about 3 days off, they could see the mount from where they were standing. He said, in another few days, we'll be there. And he said, father, here's the wood. Here's the fire. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham thought, I better not say what God told me. Otherwise, I won't make it home. God himself will provide for himself the lamb, the definite article, for a burnt offering. Genesis 22:8. So since God provides your atonement, your offering, your sacrifice, it ends all offering, all sacrifice, all atonement. Because his blood, 2,000 years later, after Abraham, his blood shed on the cross was the Lamb that taketh away, as John the Baptist said, taketh away the sins of the world. In chair 4, our sins are forgiven, but not taken away. But in chair 5, that's you. Chair 5 is you. Spirit, soul, body. That's you with a will, with a mind, with emotions that often direct us but then you missed out on what Jesus did on that cross. And Jesus later in John, the 8th chapter, 56th verse, he said, Abraham saw my day 2,000 years ago and rejoiced. That was his greatest joy, was God himself will provide his own lamb and I don't have to kill Isaac, my son. Sacrifice is over. Offerings are over. Religion itself is over, where man does something to please God. Now God wants to do something to bless mankind. You have been not only announced that in the ministry of Jesus, but you have been the recipient of that. That everything that God has promised from heaven is now yours. You don't see it. You don't see it. You don't even understand it. You don't have to even believe in it. You just simply, that's yours. He made a promise. So, since you have every blessing in heavenly places, though you haven't seen them all, as a matter of fact, most of them are yet to come. We haven't even been through the great tribulation. We haven't seen the end of the bad guys, the end of the time of the Gentiles. We haven't seen that. We haven't seen him coming back for the bride without spot or without blemish or any such thing. Chair 6. We haven't seen the perfection of man, which no man can do. Nobody can improve themselves. Say it. I have no ability to improve myself. That goes against your will, your mind, and your emotions. Because you want to prove yourself to God. You want to make a sacrifice. You want to make an offering. You want to do something good. God doesn't want it. Your good would be man-made, imperfect, not acceptable to God. So you can't make what only Jesus Christ could make. By shedding his own blood, he eliminated death. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is passed away. Perfect tense. Past perfect. And the new has come. Present. Perfect. It's already here. But it's here by faith. It's here by faith. You just have, the only thing he left us was this Bible. This is all you have. All you've inherited is this book. This book is all you've inherited. These letters, black letters on a white page, the Jews call that white fire and black fire. In other words, whether you read between the lines to see the white fire borders in between letters, which is much more than the black letters on the page, black fire. So white fire completely does away with black fire. If you read it according to the law, if you think there's something you should do to please God, if you think there's something you should offer to please God, if you think there's something that you could do that I think God will like this, he won't, because it's be man-made. You did it, therefore you get the credit. But God has never paid a wage to anybody for anything at any time. Amen. Never will. Never will. So he's done it all. So away with Judaism. Not the true Judaism of faith, like Abraham's faith and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, King David, even Moses himself. Moses himself said, later, not now, God himself will provide a prophet. Listen to him. In other words, you're listening to me to prove that you can't do what God said. Be perfect as I am perfect. Be ye holy as I am holy. This is God's true righteousness right there. What God does by himself for you, you don't have anything to do. You're the promisee of the promisor. So since God does everything you need to do, he's my all in all. He's my love. He's my joy. He's my peace. He's my patience. He's my kindness. He's my gentleness. He's my goodness. He's my faith. He's my meekness. He's my self-control. All of that is a gift of God. If you do it, it's legalism. It won't count. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Man at his best state, moral, religious, nice, friendly, always doing good. He hates it. He doesn't want you to do one thing. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I'll trade your labor, just enter into my rest. Ever since this gospel first began to be preached by John and by Jesus, repent, change your mind. Think of God as not an angry judge, but as a loving father. Amen. Repent. Don't think of God as someone who puts a burden on you while he gets the blessing. Think of it reversed, that I'll take the blessing, you'll get I'll take the burden, you take the blessing. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. What Jesus did for you was everything. He didn't left anything out, like even coming to church. It's not a good work. It's not a good work. Repenting is not a good work. Believing, it's not a good work. It's a response to a promise that he has made. That promise, he'll never change. Anything God promises the same yesterday and forever, anything God promises, he will keep, not only in the world to come, in this world. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Now, if you're in heaven, you can't do it in heaven. You have to do it on earth, as it is in heaven. That's what the church is all about. He's wanting to perfect us until we arrive at chair 6. Or if I had 7 on there, you'd be the bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. He does it all. He created you. He redeems you. He saves you. Those three are salvation. Salvation is not a one-time event. Believing on Jesus, that's not salvation. That's the beginning. But it has a process of not only forgiving your sins, but cleansing you from all unrighteousness and then perfecting you in love so that faith and hope are gone and only love is left. But the greatest of these is love, because God is love. So you'll be like God. Exactly what he promised. Now you can love him with all your heart, 4. With all your soul, 5, after you're dead. With all your strength, 6, after you're dead. You see, the chair up there that we don't like is 5. Because we have to go through trials, troubles, tribulations. And many of you have been through many trials and troubles and tribulations. But those are not the ones he's talking about. That's just your flesh wanted pleasure and it got pain. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the pleasure of knowing him and eliminating your enmity against God, because God made the atonement for you, which you couldn't pay, which you couldn't afford, which you couldn't even think of doing, because you're not perfect. There's your perfection right there. Only God can do that. No man can do that. So all these self-help books won't help you. I will be a better husband. That's nonsense. I'll be a better wife. I'll be a good mother. I will be a wonderful pastor. Those are all vain, because you did them. And if you did them, they're not acceptable to God. Only what God does. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. You are people of the word. You are not Gentile, Jewish. You're no longer part of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of God is within you. You have to defeat your will, your mind, your emotions till they're destroyed. Then you'll be able to love, joy, peace, and bear fruit for God. Because unless your deeds are wrought in God, they're wrought by you. That which is of the flesh is flesh, but that which is of the spirit is spirit. So if you're flesh, you can only produce flesh. You can't criticize and look down on and despise other people who don't even know the good news, like we all do, because we're all happy all the time, aren't we? By faith. By faith. We're all happy all the time, aren't we? By faith. In other words, you don't see it. Because the only thing he left is this. This is all he left. So the word is above the church. The word, God's word, written word, in the book, written down, is how he defeated the devil. The only way you would defeat the devil is put your eyes on God. Once they asked Jesus, good teacher, he said, why do you call me good? Well, because you walked on water and you heal people and you give the good news about the kingdom and you do a lot of good things. The Father who dwells in me doeth the works. I didn't do them. He was here as Son of Man. He was the one sent into the world. This is eternal life, that you believe in God, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ. There's the rub. Right there is the rub. People don't mind believing God because everybody has their own gods. So they don't mind you believing God. You can have freedom of religion. Everybody can worship sticks, stones, Jesus, whatever. But Jesus doesn't want to be part of that because his kingdom is not of this world. It's the only kingdom that's from heaven above. So he sent him down here to teach us eternal life. You couldn't know about eternal life. You didn't even know there was such a thing as eternal life because people live and die. They live and die. They live and die. They're ignorant because they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now eat of this tree. Commune with this one, Jesus. Unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. So what Jesus wants to do is perfect us all until we're lovers and we don't love this world. We don't have the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's all gone. And if it's not gone, it's because you didn't believe in Jesus. Because when you believe in chair 4, then you are being discipled and submit to God's law and rule here to be perfect. And you can't, so you die. Your death is the key to your resurrection, chair 6. Unless you die, you won't live. Unless you lose your life. If you keep your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you find it. So the way to grow in the Lord is to be dead to this world and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Yesterday, Peggy and I were talking, and she's meditating on the scripture, and I said, the only thing we have from God is the Bible. So read it, but read it. Don't just read it. Read it out loud so that it goes out of your mouth and comes into your ear, because faith cometh by not these ears, but spiritual ears. And even though you're saying it, they don't mean anything until the living Word of God, not the written Word of God, but the living Word of God speaks to you, then you know that you know that you know that you are a child of the living God. So I said, that she said, well, I've been confessing all my sins. How many have you got? I don't know. It seems like it's endless. Well, it will always be that way. Because in this world, you don't get rid of them by being forgiven. You get rid of them by God removing them. Well, he needs to get going. I said, no. The problem is everybody's a sinner. All have sinned. All have sinned daily. I mean, not one time, two times. You sin all the time because it's by faith. So you don't see it. And you can't, others can't see you as perfect, and you don't see yourself as perfect. You know, every day he's pointing out your sin. He forgave your sins. Why didn't he leave you alone? Because he doesn't want to just forgive your sins. He wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness so that they are no more and have no dominion over you. So he says, well, how do you do it? Well, I just read the word. I don't read it to get anything. I don't want a revelation or anything. I just read it because he said, read it. And so I read the word. That's all he left us, is this word. So just read it. So read it out loud. Then you hear it, talk it, hear it, and so on and so forth. Well, when do I see the fruit? When do I see that I know that I know that I know? How do you do that? Well, meditate on the promises. I always meditate on promises. All the promises of God have been given to you, but you don't see them because you don't even know what they are. You have to read them in the Bible over and over and over and over, Old Testament, New Testament, all the same. This promise book, this whole book is promise. Even when it's in the form of a law, it is a promise by God. God wouldn't even speak to you. He wouldn't even speak to you through prophets or Jesus or Paul. He only speaks to you through this word, and it's written down. That's how he defeated the devil. He could not have defeated the devil without saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. And the devil said, well, you know, I can quote scripture too. They say, and so on. He said, get thee behind me. Satan left him after the third testing. And he realized, this one is not like Adam. This one is unusual. He seems to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God continually, present, active, indicative. So the present active indicative is the most real thing in grammar. It means it's just now going on, whether it has a beginning or an ending. It's just now going on. It's a process. And Satan left him because he couldn't defeat him. The only thing in the world that Satan can't defeat is the church of the living God that lives by faith until he comes again. So when he lives by faith until he comes again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Faith means you don't see it. Faith in another doing something, keeping his promise, is something you can't see. All you can see is this word. This is all you have. If you didn't have this word, you'll never meet the living word without the written word. You have to have the written word. That was what the Reformation was all about. I'm not going to speak about all the denominations, hundreds of them. I'm not going to speak about them. But it boils down to the one that started it in the 16th century, Martin Luther. And he said these words, God exalts his word above his name. So unless you convict me, by the word of God, which my conscience is bound. It won't let go of it because it's by faith and it conquers all the visible church you say you have. So you and the Jews and the communists and all the people that are preaching today are preaching a false gospel, another gospel which God has not introduced. It's only this word written down eternally. This word is eternal. Not the written Bible, but the living word of God that this Bible testifies. He said, you search the scriptures. You think in them you have eternal life. It is they, these scriptures, that bear witness to me, the living word of God. So unless you have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, none of this will take place. If you build it on the church, the Roman church was a visible church, but you can't see the kingdom of God. It's within you. It's deep within you. It's in your heart. You can't see the kingdom of God. You can see him working in your soul and working in your life, but you really can't see it. So it's by faith. Well, then how can I check it? I don't have any emotions to check it, or I don't have any mind to check it, or I don't have any will to check it. I don't really want to do this. Well, it doesn't matter. That's irrelevant, because you can't check it. This word is self-efficient. It affects everything it wants to because it's a living word. This word is alive. Even though the living word is Jesus Christ, this spoken word that's written in the Bible is the only key you have to it. You don't have this, you don't grow. So there is no way you can know the Lord unless you're reading this every day. I read it every day. I wake up at 3, 4, and I read it until 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hours are gone by, or at least five hours a day, if not more. I'm a pastor. They pay you to do that. But most pastors are busy with programs. They're busy with doing good, with sacraments and all kinds of things they do. But it's part of the lukewarm church to do it lip service without the heart. That's part of the lukewarm church. You love God, but you also love this world. You've been born again, but you just fell back into sin and legalism because you never went on. If you don't go this direction, you'll go that direction. You'll go back to your sins. So most Christians that you know still sin. Is that self-evident? Is that not obvious? Most Christians that you know, especially the ones that are in your family, you can tell you lack a little bit of perfection. So Peggy asked me yesterday, well, what promise do you read? What's your favorite promise in the book? That's a good question. So I was silent, and the Lord spoke to me and said, these are the words. This is what I want you to tell her. This is what she can cling to. What was it? What was it? What do you think the promise was? How did you come up with that? It's perfect. That's exactly what I said. Now think about that. In the light of eternal, not of this world, kingdom. Think about that. I will never, this is a promise, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. Well, if he never leaves me, he's eternal, so I'm eternal. Because he's eternal and he can't mix with uneternal. He has to make me eternal. That process right there, he'd have to perfect me because I'm not perfected yet. My sins have been forgiven, but sometimes I sin and think, well, you're not even a Christian, or you're a very bad Christian. You made an effort, but you didn't really get there. How many have thought that thought? Well, I'm a Christian, but not a very good one. What is that? That meant you were doing it. You see, you'll feel sorry for yourself failing in that regard because you failed. Well, I was a good Christian. Once he asked me on 820, as I was rounding the curve going west, Jim, are you happy? Yeah. Yeah, that's easy. I'm Christian now, and then I go to heaven. I get heaven on earth, and then heaven in heaven. Why'd you ask me that question? Am I happy? Because I can sin all I want now because you'll forgive me. And then later, I'll go to heaven and I'll be perfect. Really? What about heaven on earth? As in heaven, so on earth. I don't think so. Well, what should be written on your tombstone? when you die. He was a pastor and wanted to be a good Christian, but failed. Was not a very good one. Because that was my behavior. That was my life. That was, you know, God, I can see I've sinned all over the place. Even after I became a Christian. Some of you have noticed that. But you'd be sinning if you judged me, so. If you judge somebody else, you know that the judgment falls on you. So don't judge me. Forgive me. So I wish everyone else would do that. But God asked the question for a certain reason. He wanted me to figure out, what is your life like today? Well, that's it. That's it. So I don't know what that does. Because I have faith. I believe your word, but I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of fruit. I haven't seen a lot of Christian being revealed in me. So when she asked me that question, I was thinking about that. The good work I began in you, I will surely complete. Wow. I like that. That is a good one. The good work I began, I will surely complete. But the one that came to mind yesterday for Peggy was, I'll never leave you. He'll never abandon me. He'll never forsake me. He's always going to be with me. That's what unconditional love is. Amen. Is God. I didn't do it. I didn't even ask him to do it. I didn't even know about him until I began to read in this word, and I realized, I didn't think I'm Paul. I don't think I'm, you know, Peter. I don't know. Where is the totem pole? Because I'm probably near the bottom. I'm probably going to ruin the kingdom. Forget the psychology of it. Here's the theology of it, is that this is all promised by God. If I never leave you, I'm actually saying, will you marry my son? I'm actually saying to you, you're going all the way because we do it, you don't. So don't help out. Don't do something and you thought that was a good work. The other things I did were not good. Don't compare yourself to one another and don't compare yourself to my son. He's perfect. He has life in himself. Your life is derivative. Unless you have a relationship with him, you lose everything. Unless you stay in relationship with him, you lose everything. You have nothing. So God is real here in saying, if you could do it, if you could forgive yourself, which you can't even do, because you know you've violated your conscience many times, you know you haven't kept the Jewish law perfectly, you know that you haven't even taken advantage of the Holy Spirit within you. So even though you're born of the Spirit and then filled with the Spirit and then led of the Spirit, you're not quite there. If he never leaves us, and his only goal, his only focus is to give you eternal life forever and ever, it's not up to you. You can't make him do it. You can't make him show up. You can't make him start the tribulation. You can't do anything to God to force him to move. You don't have the power. You don't have the goodness. You don't have the greatness. You don't have the capacity. You don't have anything going for you. That's why it's by faith. So faith, sola scriptura, only the scripture. Sola gratia, only grace. Chanan in the Hebrew. Only faith. That's all you have. This is all you have in this world. Faith in this promise. And if you don't read it, you don't get it. You have to read it. You have to hear it. You have to see this only. Nothing is visible. The kingdom of God is within. It's not without. Don't think of the kingdom as something you'll see. You can't observe it. You can't go and see the Catholic Church or the Jewish synagogue. You can't see the Muslim not smoking hookahs in the basement. you can't see that religion is a farce. So religion is the big sin in our day. Not the bad guys. He's not even dealing with the bad guys. Not dealing with Obama or Hillary. He's not talking to them. I'm sure Hillary would say she's a Methodist or something. It means nothing. It's just lukewarm. And he spews them out of his mouth. Because lukewarm can't make anybody hot. Did you ever notice that about lukewarm? It can't make anybody hot. It can't make anybody cold. It can't do anything except cool off eventually. That's what lukewarm is, nothing. So he can't even speak to you. He can't. In other words, what he's saying when he spews you out of his mouth is, I can't even talk to you, because if I say you're a Christian, say I already am. And if I say you're not a Christian and need to repent, you say, I did that long ago. So you have an out for everything. You have answers for everything. So whether it's a Methodist church or a Baptist church or Pentecostal church or any kind of church, it's worthless. Unless they understand you have to go through chair five to get rid of you. That's the biggest problem in our day. You're full of idols. You fornicate with kings. You don't understand that, but that's a huge sin in our day, which Luther didn't solve. The Reformation didn't finish. And you still love this world. Love God, but you also love the world. You can't mix them. You can't mix them. So idols are someone else being God rather than God. You're just replacing God with another God. You yourself, you could be the idol, or your husband could be the idol, or your wife could be an idol if you only married 5 minutes. Because the longer you live with people, the more you see they're not perfect. And so you have a lot of forgiveness to do for fellow Christians. You have a lot of forgiveness to do because... I can just see one right here. Has she forgiven you a lot?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
She probably has thought of stabbing a knife in you or doing away with you at times.
Great.
She didn't do it, but she probably thought of it.
Covers a multitude.
Right. But his death wouldn't amount to anything. But Jesus' death counts for everything. So you don't have to be good. He doesn't want you to be good. He died for all your sins, and now you're only good because he said, my blood is the payment. God himself provided the lamb for a burnt offering. My blood paid for the atonement. You are now forgiven, but you're not cleansed, and you're not perfected. Perfect love is in the Bible. Perfect love means your love has to be perfected, not in the world to come, not in the next world, but this world right now. So God wants you to know that eternal life is the prize. That's what we're going all the way to the end. What is the final prize after you're married and after the good guys and the bad guys have been thrown in the fire and lake of fire and so on and so forth, after the great white throne judgment? What is the final prize? It's to receive eternal life, spirit, soul, body. Love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. To love him with all your heart, yes, we do that already. With all your soul, we don't do that one. And with all your strength, we don't do that one. Until he comes, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It doesn't appear. You can't see it. Blessed is the one, not like Thomas, who said, unless I stick my hands in his side, and I want to see that he's really, let me see your hands. And he wanted to see the sore in his, unless I see that, I'm not going to believe. But then what he did, he believed. And Jesus said these words, not as a rebuke, just as a teaching. You believe because you saw. But blessed, happy are those who, not seeing, yet believe. So believing is seeing spiritually. If I believe in God whom I haven't seen, we haven't seen Jesus. I know people who have visions and so on. I have. But that's not important. It isn't important that you believe in him. It's important that you are now being cleansed from all unrighteousness on a daily basis, every day. Every day points out sin. Every day. I don't think I had any sin the last 2 days, God. No, that's not possible. You're just looking over here when you should have looked over here. Because you were proud, and that's why you said that. And now you're stuck. He checkmates you every time. So you have to say, God, if there be any wicked way, not just a lot, if there be any wicked way in me, show me today, right now. I'll take care of it. Which means by faith. It's the only way you can become a Christian is to not look like a Christian. You see, other people may say, well, you're a good Christian. That's why you have to be corrected. No, you're not a good Christian unless you've done all three of these. How many are already in chair six? I can't see you. How many are in chair five where you're being discipled and disciplined every day by his teaching and by chastening? He's chastening you so that you're improving a little bit. You would say you are, but it has to be by faith. You don't see it yet. It doth not yet appear. What we shall be, that we know that when he appeareth, when he comes a second time, we shall see him as he is, King of kings, Lord of lords. He was born to be king, but king priest, like Melchizedek. And all of us will be priests and kings, male, female, young, old. Doesn't matter what our categories are. Everyone in heaven will be a priest king. And whatever he does, you does. Whatever he says, you says. Whatever God is willing, you will. Whatever God is not willing, you don't will. You'll follow Jesus wherever you go. Even the Jewish people who go through the Great Tribulation, even the righteous Jews, unless by faith. If by faith, there's a whole lot of Jewish people during the tribulation that would be killed. But there'll be a group, a very small remnant of Jewish people that are clean. They've gone through the Great Tribulation. You and I don't. You and I don't. You're covered by Revelation 3:10. Revelation 3:10 says, if you keep the word of my patience, if you're patient, because you only have faith until I come, if you keep that, then you will not be part of the trouble, of the testing, of the problems that come upon the whole world. Satan can have everything in the world except you. But the Jewish people will go through. Because if they're part of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they already come down with Jesus when he comes. When he comes. The saints of the Old Testament are the same as us. No difference. No difference at all. Because they're new creation. They were elected to be there. God told that to Abraham. So they also, and John the Baptist will be there. Anyone who had faith in Jesus. After all, John is the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He is the one that will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with power and with fire. Chapter 5. And he is also the one that said, the bridegroom, I'm a friend of the bridegroom. He'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So all the Old Testament, even Moses, by the way, who said, another prophet, listen to him, speaking of Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament is all about Jesus. You think that in them you have eternal life? It's they that bear witness to me. Everything in here is about Jesus. How much do you know Jesus? How much word have you hid in your heart that you might not sin against God? Chair 6. Make no provision for the flesh. That's a description of you. It's not a goal. It's who you are. To be who you are. To be who you are is to be humble. That is your joy, to be humble before the Lord, because anyone that humbles himself, what? He'll be exalted. You'll be exalted. But if you think you're equal to God, you're not. You're not God. You're still immortal. Even though you have immortality now, you're immortal. But the only way you can be immortal is when he comes back. Now you have no sin. There's no sin. You don't even know there's a difference between you and God because you're part of the family. As a matter of fact, you haven't been made with word. You haven't been made with a word. You were made out of God, ektoutheou, out of God. You're actually a partaker of the divine nature. You're actually born out of God. You're a child of the living God. You're not God, but you're a child of the living God. It's powerful. This is your destiny. You can choose this destiny today. I want to be. I want to be. Lord, I want to be. This is Chair 5 speaking. I want to be. I know my sins are forgiven, but I want to be a perfect Christian that hears you say, well done, good and faithful. Chair 4. Good and faithful. You stayed, you kept the faith. You kept the faith. You didn't lose the faith all during your lifetime until he came back again. And that could be in a few years. Your calendar is off. Psalm 82, 5 says, the whole earth is out of course. In other words, you don't go by the Gregorian calendar. You don't go by the Julian calendar. You don't go by any calendar. Even our 364 and 5 and a quarter and so on. You don't go by those. Because God's time is this. 360 days for a year. 30 months every month, including February. No 31s. 30. That is 3.5 years. 1,260 days. 3.5 years. According to God's schedule, that will be restored. That will be restored because it's always been that way. Today, if you calculate it, it'd be 29.5 to every month. But it doesn't work that way, according to the moon. This is not a lunar calendar. God's is 30. I'm just telling you, it's in the Bible. All of this is in the Bible. If you read this Bible, you understand mysteries that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world but were revealed in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Everything was kept secret, but now it's been revealed. The hidden things belong to God, but the revealed things belong to you. You have to read this word. It's your whole life. This is you. This is a description of you. This is who you will be when you see him as he is. But he's not this way today. Today, we have complaints against him. Every one of us is disappointed in God because he didn't do what I said. How many know that God never takes suggestions from you? God, you know, if you just make me king for a day, I'd change a few things. So you can't fix up your family if you can't fix up heaven. Heaven is perfect. You're not. God wants you to be perfected so that you actually are what he says you are. Now you have the capacity. Betzalemnu kedemutnu, Hebrew. It means you've been made according to the image of God, according to his likeness, so that you are like God, but you're not God, but you're like God. Now you have the capacity, Chair 6. Chair 6 is your perfection. How many of you are perfected? Don't raise your hand. Nobody. You're working on it. Why? Because you can't work on it, because he said, you don't even know the day nor the hour. When I come back, I'll come back like a thief in the night. You don't know. If you did know, you'd be able to guard yourself and stay up. But it's impossible. You can't know what day and what hour. I do. But what if it's not your calendar? What if it's God's calendar? Then it could be quicker than you think. Because 360 is not 364 and a quarter. So maybe God has to do some adjusting. So maybe the enemy tried to change the times and the seasons, but maybe God fixes them up as soon as Jesus comes back for the millennial temple. When the Jews will rule, and you'll rule over the Jews. You rule over the 12 tribes of Israel, it's in the Bible. And also they rule over the Gentiles. So the 12 tribes of Israel, don't try to figure out what I'm saying. You just have to read it in the Bible. Because if you, it won't make sense to you because your brain is not able. So you have to read the Bible to think right. Take every thought captive to the Word of God. It doesn't matter if it makes sense to you or not. It's true. This is the truth that'll set you free. So God is wanting you to find that truth which sets free. Jesus is the truth. When he says worship God in spirit and truth, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, chair 5 and 6, even though you're born of the Spirit in chair 4. You're born of the Spirit, but it does you no good unless you grow in the Spirit, grow in grace. Grow in grace. How do you grow in grace? Read the Word. Every day. You don't have anything else. Improving your family, going to seminars, and so it won't help. There are a lot of books out there in the libraries and in the book-selling stores that say you can improve yourself, you can be a better husband, you can be. These are four things you can do to be a better wife and so on and so forth. It's all nonsense. You can't improve yourself. Well, I used to be a scoundrel, but now I'm nicer. It's not what God wants. He wants perfection, and only he can do what's perfect. So this is who you are. Chair 6, start backwards. You'll be perfect when you see him as he is, and you'll be in heaven. Immediately when he comes back, you're on the agenda. I want to snatch my wife out of the fire. I don't want her to go through the wrath. Wrath is for wicked people. I want her to snatch her out. However, in heaven, you don't know what's going to happen because you've never been there. But you could be praying, interceding, like Jesus, for us now. You could be praying for people. You don't know if it works or not, so you better ask him. Jesus, can I pray for relatives that I think are going to hell? But before you do that, on the great white throne judgment, which we won't be part of, could I pray for them right now? I thought you did. I thought you, you know, when you let the guy that had brothers and so on that he left behind, Lazarus, he had some brothers. He said, well, if you just go and speak to my four brothers. I can't. There's a big chasm separates me from you. He's telling us something there about, I don't know what you'll be doing in heaven, but whatever it is, because you won't be in Hades. You will not be in Hades. That means under the ground. Hades just means under the ground. You won't be in Hades. I hope you won't be in a mausoleum. In other words, what I'm saying is God considers Hades anything after you're dead. That's where you go. And you're either in the holding tank that you'll go to hell, rising to damnation, or you'll be in a holding tank, which is a place of comfort, which you'll rise. So you don't know how it's going to work out. But some to damnation, some to eternal, forever, lasting, into utter darkness, bound and cast out forever and ever and ever. So you can either choose life. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Life, life, l'chaim. That life which all Jews believe in. They believe in that kind of life. But they know their life doesn't measure up to it. and they have no remedy. They don't know what to do. They have no temple. They have no lambs. They have no bulls. They have no turtle doves. They don't have anything now to offer. Even if they rebuild the temple, the enemy will sit in it and say, I am God. The God you're looking for is me. A false Christ. A false prophet. So you need to do this today. I'm just saying it's urgent. If you do it today, because you don't know that you'll live to tomorrow. You can build your barns today, but you don't know that there is a tomorrow. I'm not scaring you. I'm just simply saying this is serious. You need to think about that. Have all of your sins been removed today? The answer is? Have all of your sins been removed today? All unrighteousness. Has he cleansed you from all unrighteousness? Yes, by faith. As he said, by faith. By faith. But I don't know that I really have because I don't even know them all. There might be hidden ones. There might be some that I want on the wagon too, but I don't know. I didn't even know about it. Sometimes people around you know something about you that you don't know. They do. They can name it because they had the same one. Usually people that accuse others have the same one, only it's not in the same form. So be careful how you judge. Besides, it's not our calling. Our calling is not to judge. Oh, you can make a judgment. That's just fact. He did murder. He did steal. So on. But you can't judge looking down on despising others. Your job is to forgive, to love, to bless. That's your job. Bless everybody. Did you know you can bless your enemies? You can bless them. Even people that you don't like in your own family, as Larry was talking this morning. You are the source of God's blessing. He wants to work through you to bless others. But don't think inside the box. Think outside the box. Not what Jesus would do, because that doesn't make it work. If you do it, it will not be acceptable. But if God reveals that to you, supernaturally, you need to read this word because it will quicken things in you that you don't even know. That, yes, you may have a desire in chair 5 to will the will of God, not my will but thine be done. You may have a desire to be happy all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. So that's when it's said twice like that, that means that's the real thing. So you now don't need anyone, but you need to read this so it can convict you every day. But it's the Holy Spirit, not the words, but it's the Holy Spirit writing down those words from God, from heaven. You have God's very words right here, ipsum verbum. These are the very words. These words that you have right here should be read every day, or at least you should meditate on them day and night. And you know that if you're a Christian, you'll begin to dream dreams that are heaven. You'll actually see things that you can't see with your nature. You know that dreams are weird. You don't even know. Most of them don't mean anything. But some are actually God speaking to you through a dream. And you need then to have the interpretation of that dream, either give it yourself or have somebody else. But to make sure how that turns out right. Because God loves you. Don't forget, God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life, eternal life. It never ends. It never ends. So that is enough to encourage me on a daily basis to spend time with God. So I don't, when people just speak things to me, I don't pay attention to what they say, because if it's not in the Bible, it's of no interest, because this is the only truth I know. Everything else is a lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. So I don't believe anything else what's in this Bible. I don't believe anything else. I don't believe my sermons. I don't believe anything. I don't believe anything is true except this word. So all I can say is have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Spend hours and hours and hours with him. Wake up early as I do, before the dawn. Go to bed earlier. Because it's quiet in the middle of the morning. No one's up. No one's awake. At least before 6, usually people aren't waked. Some are, but most aren't. But it's quiet. It's very quiet. It's very dark now. It's getting lighter. But you have a wonderful time of unhurried time. So then how do you sleep? Go to bed earlier. It actually is possible. If you go to bed at 9 and wake up at 5, then you still have time. 3 or 4 hours, 2 hours, whatever you have. Read the word. This word is your life. If the word doesn't direct everything on earth today, it's out of order. It's out of order. But if this word directs everything you do and say, it's in order. You're actually helping it personally. You can do that. Even one righteous man hath great power in its effects for a whole nation. So if you pray to God every day, you have great power. You don't know how much power you have because the kingdom of God is within you. It's not out there. Kill off that will, mind, and emotions. Your will is going to be an idol if you leave it stay. Your mind is going to be an idol like the Greeks did. Or your emotions, which today almost everybody is emotional, even men. Even men, we've been emasculated because the world today is under a different philosophy than this Bible. So have Bible studies wherever you are, at work. You can do it in the closet. You can go out in your car and sit with somebody else. 2 or 3 are gathered in my name. There I am in the midst of you. I mean, you can do this in prison, you and your cellmate. You can do all kinds of things that you just have to be creative and ask God, God, I don't have time, so could you make a time for me? He'll make a time. Amen. What if our goal was in being perfected like this, that I want to start from where I'm going to end up and then work backwards to see how I get to where I want to end up and then ask you, Lord, to speak to me and move me step by step until I'm perfected? Because I know only you can do that. All right. God is good. God is great. God is good. God is great. God is good and he's great. If he's good but not great, then he's the devil. Or if he's great but not good, he's the devil. So he can't be. He has to be good and great. He's good, but he can make anything he says. In fact, he's never failed in this. Everything he says will come to pass. And you'll see it. You'll see it. And the day you see it, you'll give glory to God. Worship that day will be different than human worship. There won't be just stamping of feet or, sort of your body reacting to the music rather than to the truth of the word of God. All right. God is good. Anyone want to testify? Yes. Who did that? Go ahead, Holly.
This is just exactly what I needed for today. So God is good and he's faithful.
Yeah. It's powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Who else? Just make it up if you can't think of anything. He's stunned by faith anyway.
Hearing. I don't want anything less. I don't want anything.
Bible all day long, but if it's not alive, like you said, it's the eternal life is not there just in the black fire. It's not just there in the letter of the law. But it has to be alive and really moving things and reanimating us, rebirthing us. So, I suppose I believe that that moment when you were talking to Peggy, and there are a lot of promises. And I could say, well, I knew that because that's my favorite promise. I could say that. But what I believe is that he just whispered that to me right then to let me know that he does. And that we can't even fathom how well we're already hearing. Because we don't have the time, and he doesn't want us operating like every thought is like, well, yes, but not according to the letter of the law. We can't do that.
Right.
You can't do the job, and you wouldn't even be able to drive the car to get here. I got to pull my Bible out because I thought about taking a left turn. So we can't do it according to the letter of the law. We have to trust him in yielding to that's going to happen. The hands begin to move, and you just turn the wheel that direction. And you just go and let him make it all automatic and not us constricting to make happen what he said.
Amen. It's powerful. Who else? Anyone else? It's encouraging. Who else? Amen. It's powerful. Powerful. Jay Scheidemann. All right. God is great. God is good.
Praise the Lord.
Yahoo!